Exit Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
You strong? They said, I'm strong if you strong. I said, we strong then.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Coming up, top three at six. Also, our conversation with Julian Gressel, one of our favorite guys. He was a big part of our MLS Cup run. And certainly, he's got a bright future, man. Rookie of the year in MLS. And as we said, I thought he was better this year. That's coming up in about 20 minutes. Some people responding, Mike, to the Stephen A., quite frankly, messing up live on the air. Guys, I mean, Mike and I are not taking shots at him. This stuff happens.
That's why I didn't want to go down this road, because I knew it would be perceived as... blame the producers. Blame the guys behind the glass. He's sitting in darkness. He's a very dark person, Squid Billy.
He does like it dark.
I can't even see his face. Will you turn the lights on in there, for God's sake?
6 o'clock, I'll turn the lights on. Look, that was a funny piece of audio. That's what you do with funny audio. If you don't want to have your audio played all across the country, if you're looking stupid, don't say something stupid. But you're a dear, dear friend, and I respect you.
Okay, fair enough. We're not making fun of him. But the fact is, that is something that you're going to see and hear, and people are going to go,
yes, I forgot. I'm sorry.
That guy doesn't play.
No, I mean, again, we're the only show in a top 10 market that goes for 5 hours. So as you guys listen on a regular basis, you know, how many times do I screw up a name and, you know, Squidby will get in my ear and I'll go, Jenkins. Oh, Johnson, his brother. You know, no big deal. Yeah. You try to be as accurate as you can, but I mean, it is kind of funny, though, when you're completely lost and have no idea what you're talking about.
All right, man. Appreciate you guys' comments on that. Lots of good stuff on the college football playoff. It is interesting, Mike. I mean, this really, it lights a fire under folks, because I think that to some people, and we're not even talking about dog fans, just the idea of how much more interesting it would make college football, even if your program is not where you hope it to be right now. But when you get down to it, the more the merrier. The more money will be made, right? The bigger the TV contract. I think this is a win-win for everybody. We just have to do it in a smart way. And I think when you look at the month of December, and I'll say this because a guy just hit me up. He said, Dukes, they play these conference championship games the first weekend of December.
Right.
And then these teams are off. And I said, yeah, because you know what? It's called Christmas break. I mean, these guys take finals, right? And then they come back. A lot of times, obviously, they're working out and they're getting ready for their bowl game. But, Mike, if you're talking about the top eight teams in the country, why couldn't you turn around after the conference championship games, the week after, this week, and be playing that first round of games, and then it gets you right back on schedule for what we already have set up on the 29th and then January 8th.
So if you want to go with eight, you know, the eight teams everyone's talking about, and if you want to go with a 1-8, or if you want to give the 1-2 seeds, which I recommend to buy, you know, especially if it's always going to be Alabama, why not, or Clemson, really? That's the way it seems like for the foreseeable future. Georgia would be hosting. Imagine that. Imagine the Ohio State Buckeyes coming to Sanford Stadium. Night game would be cold, though. But you'd be out there and or you're doing the afternoon. Either way, it would be dramatic as heck. So put those teams, the higher seeds, at home, and then you can maintain the integrity of the bowls and how they play off in the playoff.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I think it would work. Either way, we'll see where it goes. This is one of those ongoing developing stories that we'll watch throughout the course of the offseason. I don't know how fast we get there, though. That's the thing. This won't happen, Mike, in my opinion, until at least 2020.
But the good news is, if you are a big dog like the SEC, you'd have two in the top eight. I mean, even though Michigan got humiliated by the Buckeyes in the horseshoe, they're right now at seven.
Yep.
And nobody, let's be honest, nobody gives them the pass. Carl still wants to see conference championships matter. See, that's the other way. If you guarantee, Carl, the Power Five, the conference champion is in, then you're not going to be marginalizing or making those conference championship games less important.
Correct.
But just nobody, as I said earlier, nobody wants to see Pitt, with all due respect, or see a Northwestern, but they can be that, you know, that wild card. That, you know, if you want that March Madness element in your football, then there you go.
All right, guys. As we mentioned, Julian Gressel coming up right now, though. Let's get to the top three.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
Top three at six, brought to you by our friends at Dixie Vodka. You know it's football season. That means tailgating. A true Southern tailgate isn't complete without Dixie Vodka. Visit DixieVodka.com. That's Dixie Vodka, made in America, raised in the South. All right, guys, let's hear from Dan Quinn, because some guys were held out of practice today. Julio went home, actually got sent home. He was ill. By the way, speaking of that, I know it's flu season. You know, Will Guerra just said he got back off the flu. Did you know that?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, Will, your sick days, you got to use them, Carl.
Let's hear from our coach.
I'm not saying he's dogging it. I'm just saying, you know.
I got you. He looked sick to me. I mean, he still looked like he lost a few pounds.
He got a haircut. That's all he didn't get.
Oh, is that what that was?
That's why he looks thinner.
Oh, okay. Dan Quinn, we need, and I say we as in the Falcons, need to keep progressing in the run game, guys. Run game's been irrelevant these last few weeks.
The momentum gained in the run game, it needs to be sustained because we definitely made progress in that spot, both with Tev and with Ito. And so I was glad to see that. Now let's build upon that.
Matt Ryan talking about what's been killing the Falcons. Last week it was penalties, over 100 yards in penalties that kept us from doing what we needed to do. The mental aspect of that, that's got to stop on Sunday.
They're tough to overcome penalties, you know, particularly when you're on the road. They're just, it's more difficult to overcome those things and keep drives going. And so percentage-wise, when we get our chances and create those plays, we got to, you know, we've got to keep them. We've got to keep the ball where it is.
Who wrote the article on Tack McKinley? Did you say it was Vaughn McClure?
Vaughn McClure was talking to Tack, asking about, hey, you looking forward to getting after your old buddy Josh Rosen, his teammate with the UCLA Bruins in Texas. I don't care. Sack is a sack. My prediction, pain.
No, yeah.
He didn't actually quote Mr. T, but you get the, or Clever Lang, but you get the idea.
Here's Tack McKinley talking about grinding.
It sucks. You know, losing is not fun. Losing when you're not producing like you want to is not fun. But all you can do is just, you know, come back to work, keep grinding, and, you know, hopefully on Sundays perform like you want to perform.
Okay.
By the way, I got a question from a listener yesterday when we were up at Flowery Branch to get a chance to answer it while we were up there live. Was it, who are the guys that are playing ping pong? And I told the person earlier, you wouldn't be able to pick him out on a police lineup. It's like the backup quarterback and one of the special team guys. Who's playing ping pong?
It was Justin Bethel and Russell Gage.
As I said.
Those are your starting...
Yes, special teamers.
Special teamers.
Yes,
your
yes.
best special teamers, actually.
Well, Bethel was signed as a free agent, and Gage is a rookie out of LSU.
Hmm.
And hello, some guy who wears a single digit, I don't know who he is. Is that Bankert?
Yeah, Bankert does play ping pong, but I don't remember him playing yesterday. I think he was playing the
Carl,
basketball
Carl, I was just
yesterday.
Trying to answer the question. It's not like Julio is taking Debo on in the ping pong battle, is the point I'm getting to.
Well, you be careful. You will see Julio dominate the ping pong table.
True.
It's from times. He's the best ping pong player on the team.
All right, guys. Interesting.
I mean, that's their squid, by the way, bucking for that PR job with the Falcons. Right. But anyway,
yeah,
there you go. In case you were wondering who was playing ping pong, it was, yes, Bethel. And Gage.
All right, guys. Story number two. Let's hear from Trae Young, Mike. He thought that he had too many turnovers last night. He had 24 and 10 assists against the Dallas Mavericks. Hawks lose, but it wasn't about that, right? It was about Trae and Luka. Here's Trae Young.
I mean, we competed for the whole game. We just gave them the ball too much, turned the ball over too much. And I mean, we count blocks as turnovers in here. So it's given too many opportunities.
All right, listen, when we talk about Trae and Luka, if you're one of these guys who's like, oh, Luka's a transformative superstar, he's a foundational guy, we don't know that.
Well, again, we can all go on and take another shot at the four-letter network. They were having some fun with it. And look at that rejection!
Well, they make him look
in
like,
the face!
They make him look like Larry Bird, Mike. I mean, here's the deal. You show a Luka highlight, it's a fadeaway three. You show a Trae Young highlight, a ball's out of bounds. I mean, what? Of course, that's going to be the perception.
It's always Atlanta is Loserville. And a lot of guys hit me up going, how come we didn't see any United coverage or anything about United on ESPN? They don't care. It just doesn't happen on ESPN. It doesn't exist.
Fox.
They're on Fox.
Fox.
But as far as getting back to your narrative about Luka, yes. They no one ever brings up the fact that we got another draft pick. And, oh, by the way, our guy is going for 20 a night. You know, the only thing is we said, we talked about this earlier with Steve Koonin, the CEO. I just think Carly's got to get a little more consistent with a three-point shot. Everything else is there. I mean, you're getting other guys involved, and John Collins looks like the biggest star on this team right now.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. The other guy that's impressing me right now, surprisingly, and it shouldn't surprise you, is Kevin Huerter. Kevin Huerter can play. The kid out of Maryland that we drafted, and you look at this draft class, and you start going, all right, well, what does this look like? For me, guys, I'm going back to 2017. Collins was taken 19th overall. That's a steal for what John Collins is showing us right now. And he easily looks like he's going to be a 20-point, you know, 15-rebound kind of guy. Last night he had 20 and 17. But I'm just looking at this draft, and I'm telling you, Dennis Smith Jr., who's not played a lot for the Mavericks, he's been injured.
Right.
Luka has a much better team right now and a foundation around him that's better simply because he's got better players. I don't know what that means for Trae Young moving forward, but I will say this. Trae Young continues to make positive impact on the game. And for me, Mike, that's what it's all about right now. Is he making the right plays? If you're going to tell me, oh, man, I watched Trae and he didn't do enough, you don't understand what's going on.
The guys getting other guys involved, as we said. John Collins is really reaping the benefits. Even, you know, by the way, can Bays keep going for 20? They can maybe move it by the trade deadline. But if you watch it, they got Harrison Barnes, and they've got a better team. And he actually had a good night last night shooting the ball. But, yeah, the Mavericks have got a little more. They're a little bit further down the road than we are.
Mike, they've won 8 of their last 10 games.
Yeah, they have 15 wins on the season. But, I mean, if you want to keep it simple, we've always said it's this zero-sum game where analysts have to say winner, loser. Both teams are getting a lot out of their guys. We don't have as many pieces around, and we're also hoping to get back in the lottery pick to get those two or three guys, whether it's Zion or whoever, to where we really do make some noise in the NBA. Right now, it's way too early. We're not even to the All-Star break, and people are pronouncing the winner and loser of that deal.
And I'm going to say this now, too. I don't care if Luka wins Rookie of the Year. I want to have this conversation 3 years from now. What are we talking about down the road and the impact they're having? That, to me, is the real deal. I don't care about that. Oh, he's going to win Rookie of the Year. So what? Let's hear from Lloyd Pierce, our coach, because, to be honest, Trey and Luka were not the story. 6 technical fouls last night. The game got kind of chippy.
I thought Trey played well. 24-10. 3 ball was going down. He was getting to the rim. We didn't get the benefit of the whistle tonight at all. So it's not a Trey Luka thing. They got the benefit of the whistle. We turned the ball over too much. That was a separation.
So I agree. And, by the way, Carlisle got thrown out of the game, the Mavs coach. It was a mess. Refs were a little bit too sensitive last night. Either way, it's just an opportunity for us to talk about this because, again, and Trey, I know some guys say he don't shoot the 3 ball great. Well, Luka hadn't either. I mean, he hadn't been having a great shooting stretch here. Mm-hmm. But, again, nobody's talking about that. That's not leading on
in
ESPN.
In the face.
Exactly.
Exactly. You know, I mean, it is silly, but unfortunately that is the conversation, right? But they do it every year when you have a situation like this. We've got another first rounder coming out of this deal. That's the thing that Hawks fans have to remember.
Story number 3, Mike, who you got tonight? Chiefs or Chargers?
Well, I like Hunter Henry making some big moves for the Chargers tonight.
Well, quite frankly. what? He's not playing?
That's if you missed the Stephen A. Smith soundbite we played earlier. No, man, I like
that. Thinking about Hunter Henry and the way that he's played this year and as effective as he's been, he's going up against Derek Johnson.
He hasn't played all season.
Derek Johnson got released by the Raiders.
He mentioned 2 guys that have had no impact on their football team.
Whoever that producer was who put those little...
Fired. Fired.
Whoever came up with those...
Spencer Ware is out. Oh, yeah, yes, I forgot. I'm sorry, Max.
Whoever put those bullet points together for Stephen A., quite frankly, is probably working in the food service industry.
All right. Either way, man. Crazy stuff.
Chargers defense is stout. They are 7th in pass defense as far as rankings, how many yards are given up per game. Of course, as you know, the Spencer Ware is out, as you heard in that conversation. So the run game will not be as balanced maybe for Kansas City as you've seen. They got so many weapons. I just can't wait to see Mahomes. Kansas City has definitely become must-see TV.
Yeah, I totally agree. Hey, I like the Chiefs. I just, you know.
It's 3.5. Over-under was 56 last time I looked.
Yeah, I like the Chiefs. But here's the thing for me. Can Phillip Rivers live up to it, man? And I mean it. This is a big moment in the season. If you're ever going to get there, Mike, this is the night where you shine. You've got the weapons around you. You've played great all season. You went on the road a couple of weeks. You beat Pittsburgh, right? You were down in that game. Show us, Phillip, that you can get it done, and then I'll buy in. But the bottom line for me is, and I've been saying this for his entire career, Phillip Rivers has always been a guy that has a great regular season, Mike. The numbers, you go, woo, ah, wow. But he doesn't play well in these big moments.
11 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. So we looked it up earlier in his playoff career. Best chance they had to go to the Super Bowl for San Diego was 07 when they lost a close one to the Patriots. But other than that, he always seems to come up short. And some of that had to do with his former head coaches. You know what Kansas City is, brother?
What's that?
They are us in 2016. They are 30th in team defense and putting up all sorts of crazy numbers.
That's a good point.
I mean, we had that dynamic offense. We were saying we were the best show on turf. And Shanahan, I can't quit you. He set everything rolling. He had the hot hand. We were doing a great job with Chris Chester. The line was cutting some holes up for certainly Tevin Coleman and obviously Free to go do their thing.
Yeah. Speaking of Kansas City, they get back Eric Berry. He's going to play limited snaps tonight. Atlanta's own Eric Berry went to Tennessee, guys, went healthy, and he hadn't played. Remember, he tore his Achilles. Eric Berry's arguably the best safety in the league. I mean, he just makes plays. So I don't know how much he'll play tonight, but you talk about getting a boost before heading into the playoffs.
Right.
Eric Berry, for those who forget, got hurt against the New England Patriots. Start of the season, this is going back a year, literally.
The Achilles.
Yeah. But he was defending Grunk. And basically it shut Grunk down. Kansas City said, you got him tonight. And he was defending him. So, you know, I think he's one of the most influential guys when you talk about being able to cover and change coverages with teams. I want to see how he helps Kansas City.
Hey, man, for fantasy owners out there, Carson Wentz, he's got a fractured vertebrae in his back. Talk out of the Inquirer. He could be shut down
spinal.
For the season.
Spinal.
Yeah, that's nothing to mess with. So Carson Wentz, man, can't stay healthy. And according to the New York Post, Odell Beckham says, yo, man, my quad ain't right. So I don't know if he's going to go for the
That's Giants. What he said?
That's the quote.
I want to hear what Julian Gressel has to say, and I bet you do too. Hey, coming up, find out what he told Mike and I about the game plan, what they were trying to do against Portland, did they execute it, and how did he celebrate the championship?
Spencer Ware is out.
Oh, yes, I forgot. I'm sorry, Max.
Quick reminder, head over to 929thegame.com, the contest page, for a chance to win band tickets for one of the shows on August 2nd and 3rd. It is going on sale tomorrow, 10 a.m. at the Fox Theater. It's foxtheater.org, guys. If you want a chance, go to our contest page. It is Dukes and Bell. Mike and I had a chance to catch up with Julian Gressel earlier today, Mike. We are big fans of his.
Such a good dude. He's always come on the show with us, actually, from his rookie season as just a fun guy. And he really embraces the fans. He was sharing that trophy like lickety-split after they won on Saturday.
So first thing we said was obviously congratulations. But then we said, what made you bring the cup over to the supporter section?
Thanks, guys, and thanks for having me on here. That was just a moment that I did at the Eastern Conference. After the Eastern Conference final as well, you know, where I ran over and I was the first one to kind of present it to the fans. And after I lifted the trophy actually on stage, everybody was like, all right, let's go do a lap. I was like, oh, I already have the trophy. Perfect. I ran off and then obviously ran right to the fans. I love the fans. So it's a good way for me to kind of, you know, just show them the trophy for the first time.
You've always had a great relationship with not just supporters, but all the fans there for United. As Julian Gressel joins us, guys, rookie of the year last year and now MLS champion. Man, I mean, the vibe, obviously, it just seemed like when you come over here, and we talked about it, Tata saw the tape, told Darren Eales, I want that guy. Did you ever imagine it would happen so quickly?
I certainly hoped, you know, it would. You never really know what to imagine. You can really only hope and then work for it, you know. And that's what I did, you know. That's what we all did, you know. And that's what, you know, Arthur Blank did. That's what Darren Eales did. That's what Carlos Bocanegra did. So, you know, we all put a lot of hard work into this. And you know, the way it obviously paid off is extra special. And to make it, you know, after 2 years already is something that is I don't know if we'll ever see that again, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, have you had a chance? Obviously, you know, you've had a few days now, but I know it's been a whirlwind. We had, we spoke to a few different people from the organization, and literally they were like, I haven't had a chance to really just reflect, like sit down and go, man, this is crazy. Have you?
Yeah. No, not really. I really haven't either. You know, I'm actually really busy at the moment with a lot of wedding stuff that I've kind of just pushed off until after that MLS Cup, but. I started actually watching the game again yesterday just so I could actually remember what happened in the game and how it kind of felt, you know, my emotions kind of bringing it on par with what I see, you know, and what happened in the game. But it's been tough to kind of just sit down and really grasp it all, you know, but I think it'll take time anyway, you know, even though we're busy and you know, obviously the offseason is now, but I think stuff like that takes time to kind of really just settle in and you really realizing it of what we did as a team.
Julian Gressel, our guest here on Dukes and Bell, talking Atlanta United, guys, MLS Cup champions. You say you're watching the game
sounds
back.
Pretty damn good, man.
It does. It does.
Yeah.
You say you started watching the game back. Can you share with us now that it's over what the game plan was with Tata and how you guys wanted to attack Portland and then – did we execute what you guys were trying to do?
Yeah, so the way we wanted to play was, you know, we were expecting exactly what had happened, you know, that they let us play out the back to start. They wouldn't really press us high, but then we're really intense in the midfield. So we wanted to find, obviously, the wide areas, you know, where we knew that we would be very wide in general with the five, you know, that we have compared to their four, or the 2-4 lines. So we, you know, we knew that we kind of wanted to go wide and then play wide and from side to side to really make a move, and then have a lot of crosses into the box, you know, a lot of maybe like a crosses out of that half space, you know, that aren't always going to the end line, you know, just to really question their back line. And I think we did that, you know, and on top of that, a big part of our game plan was to stop them on the counter, which I think we did a very good job of, you know, picking up, you know, second balls, being very aware of when we lose the ball, of going right into, you know, kind of a repress, you know, kind of a press right away again. And that's where the first goal comes from, you know, where we lose the ball and really almost at their end line. I think me and somebody else, we went up right after the ball. And then Parkey obviously does a great job of stepping into the midfield to really go with their forward and being almost 30 yards away from goal, you know, and tackles the ball right to Joseph, and then he scores that with the 1-0, you know. So I think we executed the game plan pretty well.
It is Julian Gressel with us, guys. Number 24 Rookie of the Year, as we said. We'll keep saying it because it sounds so good. And now MLS champion and soon to be married Julian Gressel. I mean, the guy's got a very busy, a lot of stuff on his plate right now. Julian, we talked to you about this a few weeks back, but just to reiterate, the last game of the regular season in Toronto obviously didn't go the way you wanted. And then was there really like that a meeting of sort of like a no holds barred meeting with the team and the players and the coaches about what you had to do when you got to the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't really a necessary meeting, I think, because everybody was so disappointed of the way, you know, we showed up that game. So I think there was a lot of questioning going on, obviously, within each, like everybody already, you know. I can only really speak for me, but that was what the case was for me, you know. But obviously this was a good time for obviously Tata to speak his mind, you know, and really let us know what he thought. And then obviously some of the older players like Parkey, you know, or Jeff Lorenowitz or even some like Leandro, you know, some leaders within the group that, you know, really just wanted to share their experience and make sure that we're all on the same page, you know, heading into the playoffs. But I'm a big believer in stuff in things like that everything happens for a reason, you know, and I don't think we would have won MLS Cup if we beat Toronto. You know, maybe we would have had a, you know, that bad game like a couple games later or one or two games later, and then we would have lost to New York City FC or something like that, you know. But it's really, yeah, I'm a big believer in that if we win that game, we wouldn't have won in the last couple of games.
All right, bro. Two questions.
You're getting serious. You dropped it down an octave.
I'm trying to get an answer here. Two questions. Because we all dream, Julian, of being in that moment, right? Whether we play professional sports or not, coming up as kids and playing whatever you played, right? You dream about, man, I'm the champion, and you run in the house, or, you know, you're with your friends, and then you dream about what you would do, right? And then you talk to your boys, and they're like, man, I'd party all night. One, did you sleep at all after the championship match? And two, how did you celebrate? Did you hang out just with the guys on this club and just enjoy? I mean, was it with family? What did you do?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, it took a while longer at the stadium. You know, we had a little get-together at the stadium that we usually don't have as a whole team with all the kind of tickets that we gave the family and friends and all of that. So they were allowed to come in and to, I think, the AMG club or whatever it was, just kind of hang out and let it settle a bit. But then, yeah, I went home and then just changed really quick, you know, and then we had the club had organized a nice little get-together for us at a nightclub. So we just went there, and I think I went to bed at like 6:30 a.m. or something.
Yeah,
like 2-3 hours.
Yeah,
so it was a long night, but obviously a very fun night, you know. And the night where you just went home and you wanted to sleep, I don't think I could have slept, you know.
Right,
like there was no chance that was going to happen.
That's funny because Julian, at least he lives in Midtown, so he's staggering distance, Carl, from home at all times during the celebration. Julian Gressel's with us here, guys. Talk about the vibe from the top of the bus. You were riding shotgun. I got a great picture of you, by the way, put on Twitter, but you've got the MLS Cup. How much fun was to see that massive humanity all around you?
It was awesome. It was a really, really great feeling, you know, and I hope that all the fans felt the same way because it was very interactive, you know. I thought it was people could actually walk in the parade, which was great, you know. I thought, and me and Brad, we were staying up on the front, and I talked to him after like the first 20 minutes. We were like, man, this, how cool is this? You always look on TV and in all the other sports where you really, you know, see other other teams celebrate like this in a parade and with thousands of people in the street, and now us being up there and really getting to enjoy this, I think was just awesome.
Well, man, we are we're still talking about it. We're going to be talking about it, and as I said, I mean, I know we're in part of CONCACAF. I don't care. I'm not going to stop talking about this until the next MLS season rolls around because we're champions.
Yeah, man. And by the way, when are you getting married?
In a few weeks.
Wow. Over in Germany or here in the States?
No, here in the States. Yeah, we're going to go down to Florida.
Nice.
Getting married in a little bit warmer weather.
All right. I hear you, man. Are you registered somewhere? Carl and I would like to chip in.
No, we actually don't have any
All right.
registry.
All right, fine.
We're just, It's all right. I appreciate it, guys.
Well, we appreciate you, man. And thanks again for everything. As far as training, I know it's the last thing you're thinking about. But, seriously, you're like, screw that. Darren Eales told us, though, this is a quick turnaround for you guys, man. So what do you suspect? At what point will you go, all right, I got to get back to it? Is it? Do you have a date in your mind?
I'm sure the club will kind of give us a date. They have obviously people in place that make sure that, we do our off-season stuff and then the things that we need to do to get us ready for the season, So I think the club will reach out. I've heard, I think, at the end of December at some point.
Yeah.
That we should try and start, at least maybe jogging and then doing some running. But, it's a quick break, which is good and bad, I mean, obviously you want a bit of a break. But at the same time, if you have a quick break like that, you don't really, have to really get after it much in the off season. You can really enjoy the rest and enjoy the time off, and then it all comes back pretty quickly as well. It'll be a good couple of weeks probably where I won't do much. Hopefully, weather gets a bit nicer and I can play some golf and then just hang out. Maybe down in Florida. Obviously I'll get to enjoy the wedding and then a little honeymoon. But when the time comes and the club wants us to do stuff again in order to get ready for the new season, I'll certainly do that, of course, just because, there's more trophies to win for this club.
Yes, there is.
Right on.
Julian, congratulations, bro. Seriously, you've been generous with your time with us. We're one of your faves as fan favorites, man. We support you, and we're just proud of you guys. So enjoy your beautiful soon-to-be bride, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Good dude, man. Had some hard charging the last 72 hours for a lot of guys in United. Longer than that now. Always love catching up with Julian Gressel, and just a good guy, man. It's a cool dude. There's so many cool guys on the team. Tito's cool. Obviously, Joseph's cool as the other side of the pillow, as Stuart Scott would say. Miggy. Well, Miggy looks like he's 12. But everybody else is a lot of really cool guys on the squad.
Yeah, and it's good. It's one thing to have good players, and we do. But we have good people, too.
Right.
I think they're really fun individuals who – get the sense of community, Mike, and what this community means as far as supporting them. So it's good to hear from those guys. And again, we've been celebrating all week. We're just trying to bring you some different angles. I thought it was interesting, man. He said they did exactly what they thought, Portland would do, and they attacked them exactly how they had planned. So
it was a little bit different. And again, Tata, all those, it's so funny when you hear like the chat rooms or you see what people have said. And when he was at Barcelona, Argentina, oh, he's not the best tactical manager. Jeez, you couldn't have done any better. It was absolutely money. So we are the champions, baby. We'll take that trophy, you bet. Here's the thing. Yesterday, we're up at the Flowery Branch, and I had it in my notes, and I forgot about it completely. You know whose birthday it was yesterday?
Who's that, bro?
Only the coolest guy who ever lived, Francis Albert Sinatra. Frank Sinatra, baby.
Love him.
Now, again, I got, different generation. I don't know if Frank connects with kids these days. You crazy kids. But Frank back in the day, pretty cool. Who do you think is the coolest guy right now? Who's the coolest dude right now?
The Rat Pack. Forget the Rat Pack. Frank could go and entertain for 2 to 3 hours in a room with 100 folks in there. Go listen to some of Frank's live stuff. It was hilarious. It was great. Very entertaining. Now, again, you're right. Different time.
Right?
But the jokes, the flow, just everything. I'm with you. What's the question?
One of the things that my dad and I could both relate to, which is kind of cool. Who do you think right now is the coolest guy? Who's the coolest dude right now?
Ooh-wee.
Frank would sit there, light the cigarette,
Put
the hat back. Angie, let's get out of here. Dickinson at the Sands. All right, guys, who's the coolest guy right now? 404-741-0929. Squidbilly says it's Dale Jr. Please, Squid.
I'm going to have to think about this one. That's tonight's game winner.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question...
In honor of Frank Sinatra, whose birthday was yesterday, I forgot to mention at the show, who's the coolest guy right now that's out there? Who's a guy you think is just, that dude is cool? Could be an actor, could be an athlete, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking about this in the break, and so you're right, there's so many cool athletes out there, but my guy's not an athlete. Idris Elba, man,
right
does
on.
Everything. And I've said this before, for those who are not familiar with it, Idris Elba is also a DJ. There have been times where he's shown up at nightclubs across the country, New York, Vegas, it doesn't matter. He's in London. And just takes over. So there's a cool factor, Mike, to know that he was on one of my favorite shows on HBO,
right.
But he can also just step into a club and take over the DJ spot.
I still think, if you could have redone it, man, Bradley Cooper and Idris Elba in the Miami Vice movie.
Okay.
That's one for another day where you recast movies. That's not tonight. Tonight is simply, who is the coolest dude? Hey, man, you're on the radio. What you got?
What's happening, Chief?
Hey, Chief.
What's up, man?
Chief, I'm telling you, I had two dudes in mind, but I'm going to go with Jeremiah because that guy scares me a little bit, Chief. He really scares me.
I'm with you.
I like that. You know, I like to hear the call yesterday about the pit, you know, and I'm saying to myself, what kind of pit would this dude have? He probably have a chia pit, Chief.
You're talking about the service animal.
Again, it's our dude Jeremiah, who may or may not call it. I picture him looking like a cross between Trace Atkins and Sam Elliott. Is how he might look. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. It's Sam Elliott, by the way, one of the coolest dudes always. What do you got for us? Heavy breathing. Car's rolling. Yes, you're on the radio, sir. What do you got?
That's you.
All right, we're going to move on. You're on the radio, buddy. Who do you think is the coolest person right now? Frank Sinatra, yeah, he passed away, and that's what we got on the subject. And right now, there must be a big gas leak all over Metro Atlanta.
Go ahead, man.
You're on the radio. What do you got?
Oh, I thought he was going to speak. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, man.
Hey, man. What's going on?
Going with The Rock.
The Rock.
Good all call. Right. Rock is cool. I'm with that.
Mm-hmm.
Charismatic Mike can do multiple things.
Right on.
I mean, you know, he would never do it because he didn't have to anymore. If The Rock wanted to, he could go back to wrestling. He could play professional sports. I think he could do it all, man.
And he's a nice guy to talk to. Hey, man, you're on the radio. What do you got for us? Cool dude. That's you, sir. You're on the air. We're talking to you. We're hanging up on you. We're going to line five. Hey, man, you're on the radio. What is something different with the phone, Sam? Is it such a seamless switch?
Hey, man.
He gets it. You're on the radio. What do you got?
I can barely hear you. But, the coolest guy is probably Tom Hardy. He's been in Snatch and Fight Club and those cool movies.
Tom Hardy, good call, man. They always put a mask on the dude.
Remember? Tom Hardy.
Even like in Dunkirk, he was the pilot in the Spitfire the whole movie.
Yeah,
great dude. He's a cool dude. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got?
Dave Grohl
from Foo Fighters.
An immensely talented dude, and all the stuff he does for charity-wise, brings kids up on stage to let them play. This concert's just a cool dude.
Yeah.
He brought up his mobile barbecue grill, and he was cooking up for the firemen that were battling the forest fires a few weeks back in California. Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters.
Yeah, I'm with that. I like Dave.
Mm-hmm.
I like
cool dude, man. Hey, buddy, you're on the radio. What do you got for us? Is there any way to bang up the phone level? Is that what this is, Sam? Are the engineers monkeying around with it? What the hell's going on around here?
Don't blame us because of these guys.
Oh, he's blaming you. He's blaming you.
Dude said it was low. I mean, if we go to them, they can't hear us. It's trying to ruin the segment.
Maybe his phone sucks.
I don't know. Get off the burner phone.
All their phones can't suck, Bo.
Yeah, see, Squid, he's always blaming the listener.
It's like eight phones that have sucked. Yeah. That's not possible.
There's something wrong with the audio tonight. Quite obvious. Quite frankly, Carl. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Who's the coolest dude?
Hey, man. One of the coolest guys of all time has got to be Clint Eastwood.
Right, I can't wait for Friday. I think I have to wait till the weekend to see it. I want to see The Mule. Everybody's saying great things about it as he plays an 88-year-old drug runner.
Plays himself.
Yeah, playing Clint.
We're trying to make him. How old is he? He's playing himself.
He's playing himself. Gran Torino, but now he's a drug runner for the Sinaloa Cartel.
We talked about this movie and the premise of it. Yes, I want to go see it, but I would agree with that too. Clint Eastwood, man, he's up there.
Always,
he's up there.
Just don't let him talk to the chair anymore. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Dude, Liam Shriver, Ray Donovan.
Yay!
Good call.
By the way, though, I'm out of Ray Donovan now.
Me too.
I'm not
John Voight's
anymore.
Character is so aggravating. They needed to kill him off. And I love John Voight. I got a chance to interview him years ago, but they got to get rid of him on Ray Donovan.
Yeah,
man.
I kind of fell off. If you're watching this season. By the way, Sam, speaking of that, did you finish Netflix, the final season of...
Oh, which one? Making a Murderer?
No,
Narcos,
no, no.
Mexico?
No. I'm into that. What else were we watching? The President. They killed him off.
Oh, yeah. House of Cards.
Was it good?
Yeah, I'd watch it. The last season was a struggle.
Okay. Yeah.
But I think these writers, Sam, they just run out of steam. I got off a House of Cards 2 years ago. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got?
Hey, man, I'm going to have to go, I think, with Chris Pratt. He's kind of cooling pretty big time.
Who did he say?
Chris Pratt. And kind of like an Chris average Pratt. Joe yep. kind of way. No Chicks doubt. Dig him, right?
No doubt.
Guardians of the Galaxy, good dude. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Who do you think is the coolest guy out there right now?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I got to go with Jack Nicholson. He's classic, brother.
He's getting up there. You don't really – I mean, you see him at Laker games from time to time, Carl, sitting sideline. But, yeah, Jack still has a cool factor. I mean, for me right now, you kind of stole my thunder when you went with Idris Elba. You know, George Clooney, I know people hate the politics and that side of it, but Clooney's still pretty cool. Matthew McConaughey, nobody said. There's a dude I'd like to have a beer with.
Yeah, no, that's my guy. McConaughey is real cool.
Yeah, we had him on the show years ago when he was making We Are Marshall here in Atlanta. Hey, buddy, what do you got for us, man? The coolest dude out there.
Hey, man, I got two for you. I got Ron White or Ice Cube.
Ice Cube was in studio with us.
Yeah, Ron White, too, is funny, man. He's been doing it for a long time.
Hey, and Ron, you can be at Punchline or somewhere, and Ron will slide in and do some material. He's always around. He's always around Metro Atlanta. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for the coolest guy?
Man, I like to hang out with my man Robert Downey Jr. because I know when the situation gets sick in the club, he could call on my man Lincoln Osiris. Get it started.
That made me laugh, sorry. That's funny.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Turn down your radio. Hey, you're on the air, Montfrere. What do you got for us for the coolest dude?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I mean, I got to go with the old school Val Kilmer. Tombstone and stuff is killing.
Good. Yeah, I mean, he had some health issues of late, but he is still is a cool dude.
He's going to be in the new Top Gun, though, right?
Supposedly.
Okay. All right. What was it called again, Bo?
Top Gun 2.
That's not the name
of it. I believe
it.
That. That is not. By the way,
that's not the,
Carl.
You know what? Turn your mic, Carl.
Carl, there's a local connection here.
What's that?
You know who's going to play the role of Kelly McGillis?
Who?
Ben Garland. Hey, man, one more to go. You're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for us? Who's a cool dude?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
From the world of sports, I like John Smoltz. I think he's just really cool and a great storyteller. He's just really comfortable in his own skin.
No doubt. Good call, man.
Smoltz is great on baseball and everything else, man.
Yeah, he connects with people. I really believe that. It is called Top Gun Maverick, by the way. Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, let me guess. Maverick will have to overcome adversity and beat his inner demons.
Idris Elba, man. Stinger Bell. If you've never seen The Wire,
right?
Just take some time. It's only 5 seasons. They cut it short for me.
Mm.
One of the best series you'll ever see.
One of my favorite stories, I read the Frank Sinatra biography a couple years ago. He's making a movie, Carl, Ocean's 11, the original in Vegas.
Okay.
Director comes to him and says, we're 5 days behind shooting. He goes, give me the script. He rips 10 pages out of the script.
Now we're good.
We're back on sketch.
Now we're good. Hey, a guy said Elon Musk. Mike, what do you think about that?
He had a bad interview on 60 Minutes. I don't know if you saw it. I don't know if it instilled the shareholders with confidence about Tesla.
Okay. Hey, man, we'll come back. We'll tell you what's coming up on a big Friday show. We'll clear our throats here on Dukes and Bell.
Hey, man, Al. If you like it, tell your friends. If you don't, bless a you problem. Hey, man, Al. He's very responsibly. Now.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for... Let me clear my throat.
Tomorrow, Bo Morgan, stop yapping and tell us who's coming on this show tomorrow, Bo.
Well, we got Dave Archer to talk a little Falcons, and we're hoping to catch up with Dave O'Brien to recap the winter meetings for our Bravos, Carl.
By the way, Andy Bunker's coming up, but I know Mike and I were talking about it today. No real news to report with the Braves, guys, and we said this yesterday. Do not be surprised. Coming out of the winter meetings, you were expecting, they're going to make a big move and another splash. It's not happening. They're going to get what we need. But as Alex Anthopoulos said, they're just waiting it out and seeing how the market's going to play. Mm. What do you got coming up tonight before we clear our throats, Andy Bunker?
Isn't it kind of fun, though, covering an Alex Anthopoulos Braves team where you just have no idea what's going to happen next? Like, no one seems to be clued in into what they're going to do. Nobody saw the Josh Donaldson thing happening. They might announce something 5 minutes from now and we'll all be blown away, or they might not do anything for the next couple weeks. Who knows? But it's just kind of fun. Because it's a mystery. We're going to get into a lot of different stuff. We only have an hour before Thursday Night Football, but I know I've heard you guys talking a lot about the college football playoff, whether or not to expand it, the merits for expanding it. So we're going to get into some of that and just have a good time for an hour, relax, and try to make some jokes.
All right, guys, stay tuned. Shortened edition of the bunker mentality tonight because we've got the Chargers and Chiefs coming up. Should be a great game, by the way. Hey, let's go around the room and clear our throats. A big shout out to Julian Gressel for joining us, Rich McKay today as well, and CEO of the Hawks, Steve Coonan. Hey, Sam Tarley, clear your throat.
Yeah, congratulations to Milton High School for winning the 7A state championship last night, 14-13 over Colquitt County. Colquitt was a powerhouse team, and the Maxwell computer ratings, it was a 21-point spread. So if you put money on Milton, you did well.
Telling you, buddy, there's somebody out there taking action on high school games. I can tell you who he is.
Did you bet it?
No.
Okay.